This audio is a recording of Community Development, Lessons for Social Movements, that was made at Chelmsbury in February 3rd, 2010. This audio is the discussion that followed the talks. You will find the audio file of the talks themselves at indymedia.ie, article 95699. The discussion was organised by Better Questions, which is an initiative that has emerged out of conversations between people engaged in either social movement practices in Dublin and or thought on radical social change. They have a blog at thought-movements.blogspot.com.
Great. There's a lot of, since the recession started, there's been an increasing amount of people in this country who are pretty angry about the way the country's governed, and they become increasingly cynical about politics, as they should be, I think. And for most people, I think that rage is completely unchanneled, and they're not really doing anything about it. And do you think that, and I suppose you probably think that neither community projects nor anti-capitalist movements are taking advantage of that enough? How do you think they should?
I think the concrete answer is fairly straightforward. It's that both kinds of movements are responding. They're doing what they can. And in our movements, we have a sense of what is possible. We have a sense of how to do it, given the kinds of movements that we are. So there are various kinds of defensive battle going on right now from community projects trying to save what they can in various fields, and there will be more of those. There are things in the more kind of anti-capitalist sphere, like the social solidarity network and so on, and of course a bit of overlap there. And of course, I think all the organisations that I know are running pretty much at capacity at the moment. Of course they are. I think though the interesting question, in a sense, is why are we not getting more beyond business as usual? And you don't answer that very well by saying, well, we should do more, because I think, you know, the organisations are doing as much as they can, and even the kind of routine creation of new organisations. I certainly don't know the answer to that, but my impression is that nobody actually does. And I'll jump to a different movement, which is the kind of response to budget, which, again, I mean, the things I've just mentioned have, of course, been in part responses to the budget, but the attempts to mobilise large numbers of people and stop the government in its tracks have been pretty feeble. My own union has actually gone from being willing to reject all these things to not having enough of a majority to vote for a strike. And of course, within the union, you know, we will keep on doing what we know how to do. But if we keep on doing the stuff that we know how to do, it's manifestly not going to get us. I mean, never mind not going to get us what we want, it's not going to stop any of this. It isn't stopping any of this. And it's pretty scary, having spent much of the last 10 years in these various movements thinking that we were building up something. See what a fragile foundation it was.
I would just say briefly to that, there's obviously going to be loads of ways that could happen, but the first kind of problem I'd identify is that our experience of the economic crisis is mediated by the communications industry and by the media. Obviously, you know people who are unemployed and so on in your personal life, but other than that, most of the information that I have as an activist, whatever, comes from RTE1. That means that basically you have absolutely no clue what's actually taking place. So, in order, I think, for social movements, anti-capitalist movements, to respond to that situation, you first have to develop mechanisms which allow you to detect the shape of the emerging conflicts and how they're happening. We don't have that anymore because we live in immensely complex societies and we're extremely isolated and fragmented in general. And so I would suggest the first priority for me would be research. And even though it sounds crazy to be talking about research during a crisis, which is supposedly the greatest meltdown of capitalism and so on, I personally don't see any hope of meaningful interventions from the movements I'm involved in now. Unless we begin to develop some kind of way of getting out into the real world and understanding concretely what types of conflicts are emerging. And if we understand them, I think then there's a possibility of intervention. But at the moment, it's still limited.
There are many things that I would like to bring, because I come from another world, and I approached Ireland 12 years ago with curiosity and astonishment, because in the similitude of European countries, there is a completely different reality from what is structure, infrastructures in Ireland, or what is in Italy, for example. So when we speak about a community, we need to understand in which context as well. So we are speaking about a specific context, maybe even in Dublin, from my point of view, not even in another city of Ireland. And I appreciated this last thing, the idea that you said as your last words of the fact that there is no movement, from my point of view, on which we can refer, because I spent 12 years to identify it, and it's very difficult because there is no real grounded reality here. It's true what you say. If you say that you have to see it in that day, I believe it, because I don't see TV and I don't see anything. So probably there is something that has to be I bring it to what I have as experience, because I come from this environment since when I was a long time ago in Italy, and I worked also to study what is a new structure of work. The working class in Ireland, I don't know, we have to find this as well, because I don't understand what it could be, how can be identified, especially in the city of Dublin, from my point of view, a structure in services. So what we call as community is no longer the community of the people, but it's the community of the infrastructures that are governative umbrellas paid to then work on phantom communities that never been assisted in reality, because they are not getting the services. So we are just inside this sort of channels of the infrastructures that bring people to nowhere, and there are examples. So the research will be to understand which are the communities, if there are communities, if you have to identify. I am also quite skeptic about the idea of community. Like I'm skeptic about the idea of charity, that it seems to be the only non-profit structure that we can recognize here. I come from the concept of cooperative, for example. It is what I worked and studied for many years before, and I made cooperatives that I worked with for a long time. That is a structure based by people, theoretically, because they are also bigger infrastructure. Based by people that work for themselves and they administrate themselves. I mean, the group of the people on drugs, they create their own community and administer themselves. They don't have all these office workers that provide them their services. And what is missing also, I think, in this system is really the direct access to the services, the direct access, the real access of the people. One thing, I faced it like a person, like a immigrated, like homeless, like many other things that I faced when I came in Ireland, the unemployed, the disability, many things that I faced in the past year. You face that you really don't touch the use of these sort of labels and structures. So it's a bit long what I say, so we could do a discussion, but I think it's really worth to change the structure of the meeting, sit down in circles, start to bring materials and experiences from everybody, sit down and start to create what can be done, like okay, to divide meetings in local areas to create communities for, like happens in other cities in the world, where people from, like calling the neighbors and trying to discuss the several issues. And then all these things create then the issues for political actions that can happen into the different contexts. So the community gets identified by the same people. Once the community is identified by the government, it's no more a reality. It's still an abstraction, like the TV. It's something that is given for to create a separation. And this is a bit difficult. So I don't know. Maybe we can, if we can really try to discuss things. These are not answers. Are just contribution to the discussion. Maybe we can start to create something, because for my point of view, I don't know, maybe you have better experience than me, and I never found it, but there is no real grassroots movement, I can say in Dublin, but in general, that works on a real level, because there are political actions that are very strong. For example, there are some objectives that are got by some people, that are individual groups, and they work properly, but there is no texture. No people that is argumenting or is discussing the institutional standards, the ways of lives. We all live in the same, basically in the same way here in Ireland. In other countries, you can see the difference with who is living against the government, who's living for the government. There is a sort of division. Instead, here it's more difficult. We all go in the same places. To create, something that is a bit, becomes a bit independent, and to create a bit of, like Shomra Split, for example, is one of the few events, but it's not something developed. So that's it. I don't know.
I just wanted to say that I think you should start thinking in the first question, because when you, for example, when Lawrence says that working class people can't get out of the movement, and we can do it because we can go back to our normal life, I don't know if it's the reality, because I see not a really polarized oppression, for example, in Ireland or in Europe, but I see a really generalized oppression. The fact that the working classes, like middle classes or bourgeoisie or people working, for example, in companies, don't engage in social movement, I think is a symptom of measure of oppression, because they are oppressed, because I would never work, for example, in a company, in the Vodafone, be working like a slave for a lot of hours a day in an environment that is completely horrible, to make an example, and think I am okay, and think I don't need to engage in social movement. So I think we should stop, in a way, distinguishing activist, anti-globalist, I don't know what, and then the working classes, but to start to think about the city, about society as something more concrete, as something that unites us, like to find common struggles, because there are common struggles.
I want to say that I enjoyed both presentations, and I found them both really thought-provoking, a lot of food for thought, but I'm not sure I completely agree with them. And the reason I'm not sure that I completely agree is, or the area that I think I disagree, is on the question of political context. And what I mean by that is, you know, just to start with mixed paper, is that I could imagine a lot of this stuff being said maybe 25 years ago, and it would have resonated as a I think, a valid critique. But I think, at least, you know, since the 1960s, and not just in Ireland, but throughout the world, that we've seen the shoe is now on the other foot. There has been a relentless criticism of class-based politics. There has been, you know, in theory and in practice, a relentless assertion of a present tense form of politics as opposed to deferring, radical hopes until after the revolution. There has been, you know, a continual development in the academy particularly, but also outside of it, of critiques and theories around the body, for example, and biopolitics in the wake of Foucault. So all of these critiques, which I think are valid, you know, of what is perhaps a little bit of a straw man target in terms of orthodox Marxism, all of those critiques which I think are valid, if we put them in the political context of the present time, you know, I just wonder about, isn't the shoe on the other foot now, that in fact, you know, the class politics has been marginalized, revolutionary politics has been marginalized, utopian politics has been marginalized. You know, because you say at the end of your presentation, you add on at the very end, but without ignoring capitalism. You know, you're talking about political intervention. But isn't that precisely, you know, what is marginalized at present in a lot of contemporary radical politics? And it seems to me that that's something, you know, which ought to be at the forefront of a radical politics. And connected with this, you know, concern in terms of political context, and I guess this relates to Lawrence's paper as well, I like the idea, you know, of dialogue between, you know, a community development perspective and, you know, a different perspective, an anti-capitalist perspective, and I would endorse that call for dialogue. But again, the question of political context, you know, while I would agree that that's a very important call, perhaps within the Irish context, it seems to me that if you look at a global context and you look at, you know, places like, you know, Argentina or Brazil or Mexico or India, what you see is precisely that dialogue taking place right now. And some of the most constructive radical movements that we see in the world at the present time involve that sort of dialogue. And, you know, that's the sort of dialogue which I wouldn't want to foreclose, you know, with this critique of class politics or driving a wedge of some sort between anti-capitalist movements and community development perspective.
Well, I mean, firstly, I agree entirely. That is, being the global anti-capitalist movement over the last 10 years, very crudely, possibly caricaturing, is kind of northern leftists and new social movements plus movements of the poor in the third world, and without either element of that, particularly without the West European Latin American alliance, it wouldn't exist in its contemporary form, certainly. And we have made a lot of effort, they've been made from both sides, but they are often within Ireland, I'm saying, but they are often rendered impossible just by how different we are. I mean, one extreme example is where it's possible to live here and not recognise that such communities exist. I don't want to get rhetorical about it, but trust me that they do. More subtly in saying, well, they're just like us. Well, they're not. I'll give an example of a project I'm working on. I'm working on a project around the experience of policing, and specifically around political policing, and to some extent social policing. And we've managed to bring together a number of people from deprived working class communities, whatever, and from social movements. And our experiences are radically different. And in this area here, we're talking about a community which still is protesting about the death of a young boy in a police station. Now, admittedly, that is fairly normal in much of Europe. It's not that normal in Ireland, but it happens to working class kids. One of the things that some of the people working on that campaign found out is that it's quite normal for teenage lads in this area to be raped with police batons. This is an ordinary experience. In the South Dublin middle class where I grew up, this was not an ordinary experience. And to some extent, without wanting to overstate it, as a middle class activist, we are protected simply by being middle class. It's a huge difference of experience, and it's a difference that has radical implications when we try to talk to each other about policing and about the experience of policing, because the things are so different. It's an extreme, apologies, it's an upsetting and crude example, but it's an example just of the diversity of our experiences and of how difficult it actually is to talk to each other over those. And that is one reason why in Ireland it has been harder to have this dialogue. It's easier in some ways for Irish people, as many people in Shomra used to do, to go over to Latin America, to go and be in Mayan communities. That conversation was easier because they were over there. To have these kinds of conversations, I don't want to say it's impossible either, but the degree of difference is a large part of the problem, and it's a problem on the other side as well. Of course, I can't hang around many of the projects where the people I talk to work safely, looking like this, of course.
I'm just trying to be brief, but just on the point Arthur's making, I think it's a weird situation now in Dublin in terms of social movements, because on the one hand, you've had since the 60s, and in most countries in the world, and academically, a sustained deconstruction of Orthodox Marxism. I'd agree with you there. But if you look at social movements in Dublin, it hasn't happened. It just hasn't happened. The big organisations, the visible organisations, are the Socialist Party, the Socialist Workers' Party, the Workers' Solidarity Movement, and Sinn Féin. And they're all extremely solid. Working class struggle is the only way to transform society approaches to politics. So I still think that one of the tasks that faces us now is to actually recognise the bankruptcy of those modes of intervention, but also to do something which hasn't happened often in the academic debate, which is to start to analyse the way contemporary capitalism functions. Not, I think, in the terms Lawrence is talking about, in a way that focuses on suffering and privilege, for example, but to start to investigate the way power and exploitation operate in the context of advanced capitalism or postmodern capitalism, whatever you want to call it. And one of the ways that happens is through violence, obviously, is a big part of advanced capitalism, both internal violence, like what Lawrence was talking about, but also the proliferation of wars and so on. On the other hand, my feeling is I'm not working class. I don't want to be working class, and I don't want to fight on behalf of the working class. I am in situations all the time where I'm confronted by power relations in the university, in relation to sexuality and gender, in relation to exploitation in my workplace. And I want to learn a new language that allows me to intervene in those scenarios. And I want to do that collectively with other people who are confronted with similar issues.
You had that interesting idea about people are going outside of Dublin, they're talking about things in the country. But I don't know if you're aware that in August, this last August, there was a thing called Climate Camp, and that was a chat which was part of the organising of Dublin, which is a bit of a we didn't think of it quite like that, but I think that would be that's a good way of thinking of how gathering like that should work. And maybe that happens again this year, couldn't perform a function like what you were describing. To get people together to look at new ways of doing things.
My background is actually in community work as an activist, as a worker, and more recently studying there. First of all, like, around the language we're using, we have some sort of idea. It seems to me that people perceive, community development as a unified sort of movement with similarities and ideals and ways of working, and that's not true. First of all, there's a really broad spectrum of community work in Ireland. Some of it's service provision, some of it is around developing communities so that actually responding to the needs of those communities, and some are, you know, activities that benefit individual communities. They don't necessarily arise from working class consciousness, and actually I'd argue that very few communities actually consciously come together to respond to inequalities caused by class. And I think that differentiation in terms is really important, because community development, in terms of literature out there, in terms of some practice, is quite radical, and so it challenges class inequalities and challenges other inequalities in society. So the difference between community work and community development is quite important to mention. But also within community work as it currently stands, there's a serious problem in terms of coming together in solidarity. Today there's a protest in Doyle about 14 community development projects being shut down. The turnout was really bad. There's a real problem there, you know, with what's going on. And as you said, there were all troubles, no matter if you're involved in social movements or involved in community projects. Our world is in serious trouble, and unless we start getting that together and using beginning dialogue, having gatherings, and having a political agenda, you know, where we're going to be in a couple of years' time. So just think around the whole debate around community development and community work. I've been clear that it's not homogenous. It's the ideas behind them are very varied. And even in terms of the point you made on surrounding community projects, in terms of the call from the state through funding, and also led to a lot of service provision community groups being set up, the response to middle class needs rather than working class in Israel. So I just want to bring those points up.
Well, just one thing that did actually occur to me when you were talking about different histories coexisting and being invisible to each other, but one, I guess, positive thing that has happened with when the new Shimmers Free, this building, opened Shimmers Free here about a year ago, we organised to have Terry Fagan, who is an oral historian from the North Inner City, to give us a walking history tour of around this area. And he showed us, he shed light on a whole different aspect of Dublin that a lot of people don't themselves to know about, where a lot of working class young kids have been institutionalised into a lot of the industrial schools, where women were sent to work in the mats and laundries, and just within maybe, gosh, I don't know what radius, but just circling around this building, you could walk around and expect a half an hour, and he pointed out where struggles have consistently happened, where it showed that we're kind of positioned at the moment in a community, in an area of Dublin City that has permanently been resisting or been acting on behalf of their needs, going from one housing struggle into anti-drugs movement, into anti-institutionalization, anti-drug school stuff, and that was a really positive thing that happened actually as part of Shimmers Free moving to this particular location in the city. So I know a lot of people have thought about organising another walking history tour. The way he organises this, even if I can hear to put his name into the Terry Fagan, his phone number comes up, you give him a call. If you have more than 10 people, he'll give you a walking history tour, and it's like a tenner a head or something. So if people were interested in organising or being involved in that, that's good. But that was one really positive thing that did happen, that was an emergence between contemporary anti-capitalism and community development projects.
No, it just makes me think that there is something in my own bones that is really craving for a different way to debate I mean, I come from a completely maybe environment where we had maybe 50 persons staying on meetings for hours for things that are really, really less wide than the discussions we are doing here. And maybe you can arrive at 3 in the night still discussing because everybody's to say something. But that's the only way, I think, that you can really dig into this this situation. Because if we don't have this habit to afford political discussion as something that is like bread, like to have the dinner or to go drinking a pint, we will never go out. I think because to make a tour is very interesting because I don't know some things. And to create an historical passage is very important as well. But what we really lack is the actual context. I don't see, I repeat, the working class. Because I think there is no, for example, in Dublin has been killed. There is a middle class, because it's all white collars, and there is an unemployment lower class, completely destroyed, generation of people destroyed, and I cannot identify any person. I work in factories, and I know what is the working class, but I can identify it in a very small amount of people. So it means that the people with the specific strength, because that's the strength, is a political strength, that's why it was identified through Marxism like a possibility for the change of the world. It's been completely destroyed. So it's been, in some way, there is a way where these people are gone. There are some researchers that go through the fact that, for example, some generations have been destroyed by drugs, some by war. It's a system, and as you were speaking about this system to create that is eugenic, is the eugenic, the way to select. I think in this city, I see the city again, because in others we are selected. And there is a way to make people go in a cul-de-sac and be completely imaginated from reality, and then the other people, they can stay there all into their own boxes and they don't move. So maybe we should really work on this, and I hope the debate can be very, very wider. So it's very good to have this start here, but I think it's just a little drop of something that should explode, because if we don't discuss about these things, I would say every day that there is a rare setting of many years. I don't know. I don't see anywhere else, and this is very small. I'm not sure.
Can I just say the last thing? Because I think, like Hilary, it's really important to think about the history of social movement, to think about what happened in the area. But we should be like also critical in relation to history, to see, not just to celebrate old social movement and old struggle, but to see what kind of mistake this struggle encountered. And I think one core point is the concept of class. Because here there was not, as you said, never a really big Marxist social movement, but in places where this happened, I mean, I'm talking about communist states, China, or not communist state, but social democracies like Italy, after a while, the concept of class was saturated and was used by the state and by the same communist parties to repress emerging social movement. I mean, the concept of class was what allowed militants of the Communist Party to spank autonomists in Italy, or militants of the Communist Party in China to spank the student, or to fight against the student during the Cultural Revolution. So we should, I don't think it's a bad concept, you know, like emancipation of course has to happen where people are oppressed. So this is a universal principle, you know, someone has to be oppressed. But we should start seeing things a bit in a different way, like to learn to see history and try to think about new concepts, you know, even that are not related to the concept of class. That is kind of, I feel, I am attached to that, but I feel it's an old concept and it's kind of saturated.
Well, I just want to say something in defense of the format, because it's kind of hard for everybody to defend it. this isn't intended as a political decision-making forum. There are an awful lot of things which are. There are an awful lot of campaigns, networks, things going on where we do precisely spend our time sitting around in circles to weigh into the night going, what should we do? Rightly or wrongly, as I understand it, what Hillary and Mick want to do is to kind of, I don't know, steal some ideas from academia and throw them in and see if they make any difference. They may or may not, but I think it's not unreasonable to do them in this form. But then, you know, having a couple of talks and maybe sowing a couple of seeds is not, you know, is not where things then have to go. Then, if there is any interest in doing anything, it has to look completely different and not like this. You know, all this is good for is, you know, a bit of entertainment and maybe the odd idea, but it's not politics. And I don't think it's intended to be in any strong sense. It's like you said.
No, I'm going to have to strongly disagree with
you. How many of us are hungry?
I mean, I'd agree, the forum, it's not a decision-making forum. Some of the issues about the form and the methodology aren't as significant as they would be where you were looking for more consistent participation. But as well, I've been at a lot of things where the form is fantastic, but often there's not that much. Maybe the content of the analysis isn't as rich as it could be. So this is, an attempt to create a permanent cycle of ongoing seminars, what would be called in other countries autonomous education. We have a permanent cycle of seminars which function as a kind of immune system to siphon out all the bullshit that we're constantly taking in. And also through the discussions within this context, but then people having discussions that, you know, afterwards and so on, begin to start to foment some kind of new concepts that can be useful for intervening. And I see that actually as much more political, much more pragmatic than 99% of what goes on in social movements at the moment. I think it's more pragmatic to have this discussion than to be protesting outside the door, to be perfectly. I think it's more practical, it's more of an intervention. So, but obviously people would debate that.
Just really quickly, my first point so much that new venues involved in campaigning and various social movements for years, mainly the double cycle campaign. Just a small point, just from an audibility point of view, I definitely think a circle makes a lot of sense. Difficult to hear everybody. It definitely invites people in to participate more because you're kind of looking at people's backs, and that's the first point. Overall, enjoyed the two presentations. I will come back again and keep them a little bit tighter. And overall, well done.
Thank you.
Thanks.
People's Kitchen are serving dinner.
Thanks, everyone.
This audio is a recording of Community Development, Lessons for Social Movements, that was made at Chelmsbury in February 3rd, 2010. The discussion was organised by Better Questions, which is an initiative that has emerged out of conversations between people engaged in either social movement practices in Dublin and or thought on radical social change. They have a blog at thought-movements.blogspot.com. The recording and editing was done by Andrew Flood. You'll find more articles and also more recordings I've done at anarchism.pageabode.com/user/AndrewNFlood.